Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always so great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Ken. He's listening in Dublin, Georgia. Hi, Ken.
Hello, brother. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. And I just had a question. I've recently been put in contact with a Hebrew who is a Messianic Jew. He still adheres to the, you know, the Levitical law and the law of the Old Testament, and we had a conversation today, and he, you know, I brought up Acts chapter 10 with the vision that Peter had, as far as the blanket coming down from heaven with the different types of food, and I'm just very confused at this point about whether, you know, Christians today, is it a sin not to adhere to the Old Testament laws and requirements as far as the dietary restrictions and different things of that nature?
Well, I think the question should be reversed. How can someone point to a type when the antitype has come? In other words, to know about the type is worthwhile. It is significant. But to impose the type when the fulfillment has come is, quite frankly, wrong-headed. And the Apostle Paul had some very strong words about this. I'm thinking now of 1 Timothy chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul said that the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, and they order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I think what is clearly revealed in the New Testament is that the type has been overwhelmed by the substance. And that's precisely why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that nothing outside a man can make him unclean, because it goes into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. And then the words of Mark in saying this, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. So I don't think that we should impose on people a law that has been clearly abrogated by Jesus Christ. And the reason for the abrogation, again, is because the substance has come to fulfill it.
Very valid points. And you know, my point to him was that it's not my righteousness that justifies me to the Father. It's the righteousness of Christ, who lived a sinless life and fulfilled, God's plan for all of humanity. And can I get a reference for the point that you just made from the words of Jesus?
Yeah, that's Mark chapter 7.
Okay.
And then remember Colossians as well, where the apostle says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And what I love about this particular passage is that you have a descending order from annual to monthly to weekly, which demonstrates that a weekly Sabbath is in view here. Some would contend that, but I think very clearly the progression points particularly to that.
And that, I'll find that in Colossians, but...
Colossians chapter 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got done reading Colossians last week, but I just want to let you know I appreciate your broadcast. And, I think about the scripture of let no quarrels, you know, or dissentious arguments come between you. And it seems to me that, you know, I understand the point you were making earlier, but this brother has been a dear friend of mine for the past, you know, 6 or 7 months. And it's very confusing to me, you know, when we share certain things, but then certain things are very combative and different, and it's I just appreciate your wisdom on this concept.
Well, you got it, and as we communicate, we must always keep foremost in our mind to do so with gentleness and with respect. Back to the phone callers. Next up is Andre, listening in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Andre.
Yeah, I actually want to tell you, you have a great program, very, very insightful. I've been listening to it, you know, for the last few months, and like I said, I'm always just excited about the information that you share.
Thank you.
My question, I was basically doing some study in reference to Matthew, Mark, and Luke when it deals specifically with Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically asking God, he's using the three words, remove, take, and allow this cup to pass from me. So my question actually is Jesus actually saying at that particular moment that he's not really wanting to actually have to drink the cup as they originally, I'm assuming him and God originally discussed? And is he basically having like second thoughts about providing salvation to us that particular way?
Well, you know, I think what this really underscores is the fact that Jesus Christ was genuinely involved in incarnation, which is to say that in the incarnation, he did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity, but he did limit the prerogatives of divinity. So he took on the nature of a servant. And as a result of that, he expressed his humanity in every sense. And you can imagine Jesus, Theanthropus the God-man, now facing the most epic proposition imaginable. And that is, he is going to suffer more than any man. He is going to suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind, because his passion is not only a physical passion. He is suffering metaphysically as well. In other words, he is atoning for all the hurts and pain of fallen humanity. So you can imagine from the perspective of his humanity, just as he did not know from that perspective when he would return in judgment on Jerusalem. Only God knew that. Angels do not know that. Human beings do not know that. Only God knows that. So Jesus here speaks from the perspective of his humanity, and the same thing is true in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is crying out to God because he is in full touch with what he will endure. And in this saying, he is relating to us something that we must always communicate in the depth of our own pain, and that is, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, which is something that I append to my prayers. The reason I do, and there are many in the church today that say that that is an example of lack of faith, I don't think so. The reason I do that is I only always see a snapshot. God sees the panoply of my life, and therefore, I don't want my will. I want his will to be done. So Jesus here is communicating from the depth of his being as one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. From the perspective of his humanity, he is crying out to his Heavenly Father and showing that he is completely submissive to the will of the Father as delineated in Philippians chapter 2.
So I appreciate that. You know, now I do have, I do have the clarity that I need on that particular passage. And like I said, it's just something I had been really just been on my mind, and I've been wanting to call you and ask you about it and see what your feelings were on that. And I do appreciate you taking the time to, you know, add some more clarity to that passage for me.
Well, you got it, and I appreciate you becoming a listener.
Okay, Hank, you have a great afternoon, and like I say, I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Look forward to it. We'll be right back with more.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI.
or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that if the Lord lays this on your heart, we would deeply appreciate your consideration of becoming a CRI support team member that commits to supporting the Christian Research Institute and many outreach ministries around the world with your ongoing support and appreciation. You'll receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. When you join the CRI support team, you quite literally turbocharge our ministry. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Frank in Michigan. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, it's based on the prospect of forgiveness and then having to still mete out some kind of justice, whether that a person is relieved of their job for the errors that they've made, or maybe that a relationship is ended because it's not the right thing for people to go through anymore. And I'm just curious, how do we biblically base that you can net out a justice in man's law and not cross a line with God's law?
Yeah, well, remember that in terms of the whole idea of forgiveness, it's always a two-way street. So God objectively offers salvation to all who would receive. But that is not subjectively realized unless we embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So the objective forgiveness is offered to us, but not realized unless subjectively we reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. So forgiveness being a two-way street, in that sense, applies to us in a human sense as well. So our responsibility as Christians is always being willing to forgive. That's the operative word, willing. But we cannot affect reconciliation on our own because it's not unilateral. It's always bilateral. It always takes more than one party. So we have to have a heart that is open to receive someone who is genuinely sorry for what they did and therefore desires reconciliation.
So when they just won't admit that they have done something wrong.
Well, then you can't have reconciliation. You can still be willing to forgive, but if they can't admit that, then reconciliation simply is out of the question because, again, it takes both parties.
Right. I've experienced something where the body of Christ was divided in my church, and there was not a reconciliation between the parties. How do you move on from that where you decide that you need to leave that particular portion of the body of Christ in seeking out a new place, a new home?
Yeah, but you still, and maybe that's the wisest thing to do in that particular situation. Every situation is a bit different depending on the circumstance. But yeah, well, you still have to have a willingness to forgive, to have an open heart towards others. I mean, we have that open heart towards the world, right? We want to reach the world with the gospel. How much those brothers and sisters that are separated? We have to have that open heart, that love that we show, not only by what we say, but by the lives that we lead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your time and your insights. They're very helpful.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Adam next. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank, God bless you, brother. Thanks for letting me on the air. You answered a question that kind of sparked another question in my mind. Someone called in and asked where dinosaurs fell in the scripture, and you had mentioned that, you know, we have to look to science as well, and that, you know, dinosaurs date back 55 million years ago. Well, that got me wondering about your opinion on not only on the age of the earth, but where that time frame comes in. You know, we know from the scripture that Adam and Eve were, what, roughly 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. So where do you see that gap in time between 55 million years ago compared to Adam and Eve 3,000 or 4,000 years ago? And how do you ascribe that gap in time? I mean, do you believe in God creating the earth in 7 literal days, or do you see a time gap somewhere?
Well, the first thing, and I've said this many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, if you want to find the age of the earth or the age of the universe, you're not going to find it in Scripture, nor will you find any precedent for saying that Adam and Eve came to this planet by God's creation 5,000 or 6,000 years ago. Simply nowhere in Scripture. We don't have any idea whatsoever in terms of the chronology. In fact, the genealogies that you find in Genesis are not sequential, they're symmetrical. That's why you have 10 on one side of the flood and 10 on the other side of the flood. Very much like genealogies are throughout the Bible. They have a chirological function. In other words, there is a purpose for these being segmented as they are. There's a purpose for Matthew having 14, 14, and 14 generations. So the idea that the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were here 5,000 or 6,000 years ago as the creation of God simply is not something to be found in Scripture. If you want to find out when Adam and Eve first populated the earth, then you have to go to God's other book, which is General Revelation. And that answers those questions. So as Christians, we have to do not only good scriptural hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation, but we also have to do good science. Now, there's a lot of debate about exactly how old Earth is, how the exact age of the universe is figured, but the general idea today is that the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old and that the universe is 13.8 billion years. Roughly speaking, that is not only compelling from my perspective in terms of current science, but it corroborates Scripture's teachings that the universe came into existence a finite time ago. You know, there was a time in which people thought about an eternal universe, which makes no sense whatsoever given the laws of science, or that the universe sprang out of nothing, also makes no sense whatsoever given our understanding of science. So the Bible is correct in corroborating that the universe came into existence a finite time ago. But what you have in the first 11 chapters of Genesis is sort of like in previous episodes. In other words, you have sort of the macro issues to catch you up, because the real concern of Scripture is God's call of Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and then the unfolding plan of redemption culminating in a new heaven and a new earth. So paradise lost becomes paradise restored.
As far as an apologetic mindset, because I know that's a question asked a lot of Christians by atheists and agnostics and different people, you know, I see that as a, I don't want to say I see that as a weak point, but I see that as a struggling point with Christians, because you do have your organizations such as Answers in Genesis that strongly believe that the earth is only 4,000 and 5,000, 6,000 years old, and that the genealogy in Scripture is exact. So I guess my question is, how do we as Christians, or what is your opinion on how we should handle that? Because it seems like, as far as an apologetic mindset, we hurt ourselves.
We ought to tell people to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. I mean, it's not enough to say that the Bible's the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. But once we say that, we also should say to people, learn how to read not only the Bible, but literature in general. And by the way, from the perspective of saying that the universe is 5,000 years old, sequential layers in the formation of ice cores in places like Antarctica and Greenland point to an Earth much older than that. Because just as arborists count tree rings so that they can estimate the age of trees, researchers count sequential layers to date the age of ice cores. And that data log seems to suggest that the age of the earth is at least hundreds of times older than the age presumed by the young earth creationists that you mentioned. To remember the resources that I talk about on the show, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's a subscription magazine. It's world class. It's a magazine that no Christian home should be without. When you look at the major Christian magazines, a magazine like Charisma, it's downright embarrassing. The Christian Research Journal, however, is a magazine that will equip you, give you discernment skills. You can subscribe again on the web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. We're out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.